It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I love to start Catholic Sports Weekly that way, the way we should all start every day. Welcome. This show underwritten in part by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Well, what were you doing when you were 18 years old? Can you think back? Some of you, it might have been just a couple of years ago. Some of you, it might have been 50 years ago. What were you doing when you were 18? Me? I was wrapping up high school and on my way to try to play some college baseball. But what is Colton Herta doing? He's winning IndyCar races. That's what he did on Sunday in Austin, Texas, at the Circuit of the Americas, the second race of the year on the road to Indianapolis in the IndyCar series. He is 18 years, 11 months, and 25 days old, the youngest ever to win an IndyCar race, and he captured the race last Sunday. He's the son of Brian Herta. You might remember Brian Herta, former IndyCar driver. And so Brian, a very proud dad this week as he's celebrating Colton Herta's first win in IndyCar. So congrats to him. Joseph Newgarden finished second in Austin, and Ryan Hunter-Reay was third. Let's talk some basketball. As we know, it's always kind of difficult because of the time. You know, the games have already played, and maybe we're talking about something that's already over. But Purdue was still playing at the time we recorded this show. They play number 2 seed Tennessee on Thursday night. What a win last week for the Boilermakers as they advanced to the Sweet 16. And what a game by Carson Edwards. He scored 42 points in their second round game. And afterwards, his coach, a very proud guy, Matt Painter, talked about the 42 from Carson Edwards.
Well, it's such a, you know, a big stage, you know, to be able to score 42 points and, you know, make 9 threes, you know, to advance to the Sweet 16. And so his third year going to 3 straight Sweet 16s. And so it was just a big-time performance. You know, but I thought everybody was hooked up tonight. You know, obviously, and I always talk about it, but things just look better when the ball goes in. You know, and obviously we did some good things executing, but, you know, we also made some tough shots and they really got them on their heels. But, you know, but he was spectacular. You know, he was really good tonight. And anytime you get that kind of a special performance, you know, from somebody, you want that to lead to a win.
Do you see any just changes in his approach tonight that might have helped lead to this, either the angles he was taking off the attack or the shots he was choosing to take?
No. I just saw a difference in the results, which was cool. He's a good player. You know, he's a good player. Sometimes when he doesn't let things get to him, it kind of mounts his frustration, and you can kind of see that. Like, if he just lets things come to him, you know, he's a really good player. And then once you get into that mode of being hot like that, that's when you need to be aggressive. And then he, you know, he's got into those before, you know, at Penn State this year, at Wisconsin this year, but, you know, not quite on, you know, on that stage.
Again, that's Matt Painter after Purdue's second round game, the victory that Carson Edwards scored 42. And again, we're taping this show on Monday. They play on Thursday. So if you're listening on Tuesday, you're saying, go Boilermakers. If you listen on Friday and you're a Boilermaker fan, you're hoping they're moving on to the weekend. And at press time, so to speak, Michigan and Michigan State still playing from the Big Ten. Duke, did you see their wild finish and their chance to advance to the Sweet 16? Ball came down on the rim, sitting on the rim, as University of Central Florida almost eliminated the number one seed. But Duke still kicking at this point. Hey, congratulations to all the high school basketball champions. Carmel, Silver Creek, Andrean, and Blackhawk win the 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A basketball titles. So congrats to them. And the Pacers have officially qualified for the NBA playoffs. We knew that was a done deal a long time ago, but now they're mathematically in. And the Pacer tickets for the playoffs are available now. You can get them at Pacers.com. Pacers got a big win Sunday over Denver. They have clinched the playoff spot. They're home Saturday and again next Monday. So go root for your Indiana Pacers. Well, we're going to take a break. We're just getting started here on Catholic Sports Weekly. James Hogan will join us next. You're saying, now who is James Hogan? Well, you're going to find out when Catholic Sports Weekly continues.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company. AAA Roofing, they are looking for workers. They need people to get up on the roof and go to work. And if you need a job, go to AAARoofingCompany.com. And also the Elam Group, ElamUSA.com. And speaking of the Elam Group, as we continue our, sometimes we talk a lot about sports, sometimes we talk about sports leadership, and sometimes we just talk about leadership. And it's my pleasure to welcome James Hogan, the owner and the founder of the Elam Group. And good to have you on board this week on Catholic Sports Weekly, James.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah, good to have you here. And we're just going to talk about a lot of different things. But one thing, when you think of your business, it's not a Catholic-based business. But Catholicism, your family and you and your wife and your kids, you're dipped deeply into Catholicism. And that's a big part of what your life is all about, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, since I was born, really, I'm one of those what you would call cradle Catholics, and really up from, you know, birth through my education, and it's been integrated through my life, Catholic faith. And it really is, I would say it's integral to the way I live and the way we do things.
Yeah, and I think when you think about the business itself, help people understand, the Elam Group, it's an environmental consultants. Mm-hmm. That's not connected to Catholicism at all, but some of your decisions, we were talking about it driving over here, ethically, that's, I think, what you're most proud of with your company is that the ethics first in every decision. And that really probably is traced back to your Catholic roots, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. We're a service-based industry. Environmental consulting is providing a service for another. And when you think about Jesus Christ, he was a servant. And in much the same way, we do that same thing for others, for our clients. And I would say the key piece to our success is balancing ethics and logic and then emotion in every decision we make.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you're right, that your basis that you were born into, your Catholic faith, all of that is connected to those decisions that you make daily, right?
It really is, yeah. And for me, it's because it's a way of life, it's very easy to do. Mm-hmm. It probably seems a little out of touch maybe at times with the rest of the secular world, but as a company and as a business, we thrive on sticking to those principles that drive our success.
Yeah, we're talking with James Hogan. He's from the Elam Group, ELAM. USA.com. Your upbringing, like you said, Catholic faith, Catholic education, even through college. You went to Dayton. How important was that? I know with me personally, I went to Ole Miss, and it's not a Catholic school, but I met Father Francis Cosgrove at St. John in Oxford. That was where I went to Mass while I was in college. And a lot of people know that at that point in your life, you don't really have a decision to make, but you think you do, on whether or not you stay on your Catholic faith and whether or not that path is still important to you. I know for me, Father Francis Cosgrove is a key to why I'm still a Catholic. I mean, he laid a foundation, again, on top of the foundation that my parents had already laid. But at Dayton, I'm sure you experienced a very similar thing.
Very similar. And Dayton is a Marianist university, and there is a certain culture at the University of Dayton that I think people that go there understand, and they feel it. You don't even have to explain it. It's almost a nurturing culture. Mm-hmm. The Marianist University has a nurturing culture, and you feel it there. And for me, it was really one of those moments, like you mentioned, where you're at a crossroads. You come to many crossroads in life, yeah. And this was one of those crossroads. You're away from your family for the first time, and really holds for the future. And my wife, Lori, was really there every step of the way at the University of Dayton, which is pretty miraculous in its own right.
Yeah. To meet your eventual wife at school, that's a blessing. I know I was blessed to find my wife, Becky, after college, but we met at church in Tupelo. But I still remember I was elected the president of the Catholic Student Union, but I was dating the girl that was elected vice president at the time, and about a month into it, I said, this is too much work. Let's flip-flop jobs. You're now the president. I'm now the vice president. But your family, you guys are you're raising your kids through the Catholic education. That's been a big part of you. You have, two daughters now at Guerin Catholic, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and you have a son that's about to be at Our Lady of Grace. Mm-hmm. He's about a year away from going to kindergarten, I think, isn't he?
That's right. And and also a daughter at Our Lady of Grace.
You have a daughter. I forgot all of them. But tell me a little bit about that and why that was important to keep your kids in Catholic education.
Yeah. Well, for us, the idea of raising our family Catholic was very important. But for us, raising them through the Catholic educational channels was also very important, because both Lori and myself mm-hmm. have been risen that way. And so for Emily and my kids, it's been a lifelong learning process for them that we see a lot of value. We see that the Catholic education has given them a sense of morality that we really appreciate in them, and we pray that morality sticks with them throughout their lives.
Yeah. We've talked a lot on this show about leadership, and that's what we're doing today with James Hogan, Catholic leader in our community. Kids go to Guerin Catholic, and we are called Catholic Sports Weekly, so let's talk some sports.
Sure.
You've watched your daughter Emily play at Guerin Catholic in soccer. She's getting ready now for her senior year. Who can believe that? Boy, it goes
amazing.
By, doesn't it? Goes by
it's
fast.
Amazing.
But that was a great run a couple of years ago that the Guerin Catholic soccer program had. And are they knocking on the door to be another state contender?
Well, we hope so. And you know, that year was a phenomenal year. Emily plays goalie, and she was JV, and she is JV now. But when it comes playoff time, they need goalies in place in case somebody gets injured. So she made that varsity team for the postseason. Great run, a great team with incredible chemistry. And they were playing some very talented teams, Carmel, very talented, and they had their number.
They got 6,000 kids at the school, so they should be good.
Right. And Penn outlasted them that year, and it's a great school, as far as their program, their soccer program. But really was a great run. And I think this year, I saw a rebuilding year last year, mm-hmm. And they got a lot of young talent that I think is going to do something. I don't know much about how this year's freshman class looks, but one thing about this soccer thing, I think a lot of people think, well, when it's over in November, it's over. Really not true, though. What you see is there's some downtime, but it's a workout off season, and that off season right now is just about ready to kick into a little higher gear. Call out on students and who's committed to the to the next season, that type of thing. And then it really kicks into high gear in the summer, July, August time period. And it's exciting. It's really a lot of fun. Spring training with baseball is so exciting at this time of year. For us, July, August is exciting for that team. And they got a great coach, great set of coaches. We hope to see them build some chemistry with the youth now being freshmen and sophomore, now sophomores and juniors, and the seniors coming in, taking on more of a leadership role. I think it's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, I know it's fun as being a a dad who has a daughter who's playing in college in softball, and I've had two sons that played and probably could have played some college sports had they wanted to, as far as where they would have chosen to go. But it's fun, and it's gone in a blink of an eye. And so hang on to it, Dad. Yeah, hang on to it while they're still playing, because it is gone in a blink of an eye. But when you think about how athletics has helped Emily and your other children, how do you see how it has, you know, in conjunction with their faith, mm-hmm. helped shape them into the young men and women, well, the young women and the little guy mm-hmm. about to be a man in a few years.
Yeah.
How has it helped shape them, athletics?
Yeah. Well, I think with Emily, she's probably the best example because she has learned that position of goalie as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
They were down as a team on goalies, and Emily stepped in and said, "I'll do it." And so from that point forward, she had a learning curve.
Yeah.
She's getting to the point where she's very competent back there. But what I think is interesting is how this, at the end of this year, with the coaches and the conversations they had, her goal was, I want to lead that JV team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the value that sports has brought to her is this leadership quality. And for her, it's more leading by example, being a little more senior, literally a senior next year, but a little more senior with that JV team. And I think the teammates respond well to that because of her, I would say, unassuming leadership style.
Yeah, that's interesting. You have a unique background, too. You're from Akron.
Correct.
And you went to the same high school that LeBron James went to,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit before him.
Just a little bit, yeah.
But you've seen the impact that LeBron James has made for that Catholic high school. Mm-hmm. Help our listeners understand maybe something they've never known about LeBron James. I mean, here he is. Some people think he's the greatest ever. Some people argue that maybe Michael Jordan was. It's a neat argument that you and I could probably have for days. But tell me about the impact that LeBron James has on Akron.
Sure, yeah. And he is the greatest of all time. Let's just get that out there.
I think Larry Bird was.
I am a little biased. I think LeBron James is a terrific individual. I've always admired how he's handled the media.
Yeah.
For instance, and as a freshman, I remember I was living in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and my friends up in Akron had said, you know, there's this player. There were actually five freshmen. There's this player that is something else, and you got to see him. So we, you know, I went and watched him, and he was an incredible player. And I'll tell this quick story on his freshman year when they won the state championship. There was a kid that was about 5'3". His name is Drew Joyce. He was the son of one of the assistants at the time, who's now head coach. And this kid was 7-for-7 on three-pointers. 21 points was the star of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my friend, boy, that Drew Joyce is incredible, but where was LeBron? I thought he was the player. And he says, just wait, look at the stat sheet the next day. And sure enough, you look at that stat sheet, and you'll see what he does this very day. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He does something like that every night. He's been doing it since freshman year of high school, and well before then, I'm sure. And in the newspaper the next day, he's holding this Drew Joyce up in the air. Hmm. And, you know, Drew Joyce has the number one on a cover of the Akron Beacon Journal. I think I still have that paper. LeBron's a good man, and his leadership, that unassuming leadership style, he reflects that in Akron, which I don't think you see on ESPN.
No.
Since high school, he's been having these inner-city bicycle runs, and he still does this to this day. Just a lot of good things he does for the community that you just don't hear about necessarily on ESPN. I think it's getting a little more publicity with the school opening in Akron, but that's really that's building off of 20 years of commitment to that community.
Yeah, he gives the commitment, and then you said the faith, the Catholic education basis is why you think he is the way he is with the community give back.
I really think so, and I know firsthand those teachers at St. Vincent St. Mary High School, many of those same teachers that I had, he had, they're good people, They are teaching Catholic moral values, and I can't help but think that what LeBron does and what I see and how he treat, you know, how he handles himself in the media and how he handles himself in his actions, his voluntary actions, I can't help but think that that Christian-based education has helped shape who he is. And yeah, in some ways, perhaps God had a hand in who he is.
Yeah. Real quickly, we're going to take a break, but I know you do some backpacking with Father Tom Metzger. Mm-hmm. At least you have in the past. Are you guys still doing them every once in a while? Or
I would call it non-periodic. It's when we all kind of need a break.
But that's been a neat, real quickly, Father Tom lost his father, Harry Metzger, passed away this last, I think it was Friday night, and our prayers with the Metzger family and Father Tom and just thoughts and prayers with them. And absolutely, his funeral, I think, is going to be Monday, April 1st, which he said his dad would like. He said his dad's probably already chuckling about the fact that his funeral's on April Fool's Day. But tell me a quick thought on that and those backpack journeys with Father Tom.
Yeah, those are incredible. I mean, there is a good amount of exercise that we get on those journeys, but you know, that we do have a rule: what goes on the trail stays on the trail. but there is a certain depth of reflection that you have on the trail. You shut down the cell phone. There's no TV. Much like this Exodus 90 thing, there's a period of reflection, and it's very primitive. We are literally walking with all our stuff in our backpack and eating dry goods and, you know, going to the bathroom outside. I know that sounds crazy. And so it's humbling, and you start to get to the very essence of who you are and who the people you're with are.
Yeah.
And it's been great. Father Tom is really terrific, and he does plan it out very well.
Physical and spiritual on the journey with Father Tom. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up this week's edition of Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
For 15 years, Catholic Radio Indy has talked the talk. Now it's time for us to walk the walk, and you're invited to join us. On Sunday, May 19th, we'll be fielding a team of walkers for the Walking for Dreams 5K Run Walk on the Downtown Canal. Funds raised will support the mission of Catholic Radio Indy to convert the culture to Christ through radio. To sign up or for more information, go to walkingfordreams.org.
Has the weather this winter been getting you down? Let us help you look toward warmer weather and sunshine. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, May 21st for the Catholic Radio Indy annual golf outing. This year, we're moving to a great new course, Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers. It's not too early to get your foursome together. You can register online at CatholicRadioIndy.org. We rely on generous underwriting as well. If you're interested in underwriting or being a hole sponsor, call Valerie at 317-870-8400.
Back again to talk Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing and also 21ology.com. We're continuing each and every week. As you know, we talk about Exodus 90, but before I do, don't forget May 21st is the Catholic Radio Indy Golf Outing. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org or give us a call here. See if I remember the number, Jim. 317-870-8400. I didn't know where the 7 and the 4 was. So 870-8400. That's the number. Get yourself signed up. Going to play at Ironwood this year on May 21st. Now, let's welcome back James Hogan, and I can do that because you're also doing Exodus 90. As we do our weekly updates here on Exodus 90, we are into week, is it 9 or 10?
Boy, I think it might be week 9.
Yeah, week 9. I should look at my thing here, but I can look at it real quick. How's it going for you? You've been involved from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, it's been a little bit of up and down, a little bit of adjustment in the beginning. And I think for me, the thing that has been the biggest challenge is preventing complacency.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to about this time, and you start to get used to the asceticisms, and sometimes your day gets busy, and you start to get a little complacent and thinking, mm-hmm. well, I can do this a little bit later. You know, and so at times that hour of prayer, which I really value, takes a back seat. And those are some of the challenges that, that I deal with on this. Complacency and then making that time alone with God.
Yeah, I think this might be week 10. It's day 64.
Got it.
When we're recording this, they changed our app. Did you notice that?
I did.
They changed the app, and I can't figure out, okay, what day is it now?
Right.
But you were talking a little bit about the backpacking, about this. What I see with Exodus 90, you're right. You pull things away from yourself that you really want to do, like watch the NCAA tournament. You really want to do that, but we're not doing that now. And what do you think in the end, when this is all over, when we reach day 90 and it's Easter Sunday, what do you hope you've accomplished being on Exodus 90?
Yeah. Well, let me first state I'm shocked that Tennessee is still in it because that's my other alma mater.
Yeah.
And Tennessee versus Purdue, boy.
Yeah.
I tell you, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But what do I hope to gain out of this? Day 91, right?
Yeah.
When we're all looking forward to, what I hope to do is continue many of the asceticisms as I have through this 90 days, make it more of a habit, and do it faithfully. Mm-hmm. And that same holds true for the prayer. I have really gathered a lot of personal depth, I would say, with that prayer time. And it's something that, like I said, I'm a cradle Catholic, been to church pretty much every week of my life, but never have I reflected as deeply on the book of Exodus, for instance.
Didn't know much about it, really.
Right.
And now we do.
Exactly. And so I look forward to really continuing it. It's interesting. It seems so hard when you think about all the things that you give up and the cold showers and all this stuff. Yeah. But you start to look at it as this is nothing.
Yeah.
It's really nothing. And you start to form that relationship with God that you never really had but thought you had.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. And we continue as we march towards day 90 and then day 91. Thank you, James, for dropping in. Really enjoyed talking with you. And if there's someone else out there maybe listening to this show and you say, you know, I know another Catholic leader, a business owner that Catholicism helps drive their every day, hey, hit me with an email. Will, you got to remember one L, W-I-L, @CatholicRadioIndy.org. We'll bring you on this show. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. God bless. Thanks for listening to Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.